This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
Sports fans!
Sports Radio 740 brings you ESPN college football analyst Tom Luganville. Brought to you exclusively by Riverbank and Trust. Their service runs deep at Riverbank and Trust with convenient locations in Montgomery, Prattville, Wetumpka, Millbrook, Gadsden, Auburn, and Opelika. Now, here's ESPN's Tom Luganville on Sports Radio 740.
Hey, let me tell you about the My Checking and the Vintage Checking at Riverbank and Trust. Both come with the ease of mobile banking or online banking. So, folks, take advantage of this great service and great product from River Bank and Trust. Great people that deliver great service. Hey, our man Tom Luganville, ESPN college football analyst on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. Luges, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, fans. How are you?
Doing outstanding. It's going to be a little weird coming up this upcoming week as everybody's just kind of taking the week off from the pros to get ready for the Super Bowl coming up. I'm not sure a lot of people were anticipating conference finals in the NFL featuring, everybody was expecting Tom Brady, but Nick Foles and Case Keenum and Blake Bortles. Those guys had great college careers, but they weren't exactly top-of-the-line NFL guys to that point. What did you think about that improbable set of conference finals?
Well, you know, what's so interesting about all of this is, you know, there's such a dearth of quarterbacks at the National Football League level. And listen, there's a lot of reasons why. But when you consider the league, let's look at it, guys. You got, 32 teams. Do you feel like you could name more than seven teams that have a quarterback that you say could get you to the Super Bowl every year? It's hard to do it. I mean, it's hard to name more than seven guys right now. And so, when you consider that and you look at all the different places, let's just say a Nick Foles has been or a Case Keenum has been, and you see some of these guys and how they've materialized and bounced from one spot to the next, it just further proves the point that if you get in the right place at the right time with the right system and the right personnel around you, that all of a sudden your fortunes can change really quickly. I mean, look at Nick Foles, for example. That guy had played good enough at one point, a Pro Bowl season under Chip Kelly at Philadelphia, to put himself out on the open market. Then leaves, doesn't really succeed. He succeeds, gets back to Philly, and now he might find himself in the exact same position that he once was in several years ago because everybody on the market is going to need an improvement at quarterback outside of a handful of teams. I just think it's so interesting. And I go to a background with Kurt Warner back in NFL Europe, and it was really a similar set of circumstances. Right place, right time, mm-hmm. The opportunity was there, great players around him, and so much of the position, that's what it's come down to now.
They were saying, I've heard before that that's all the NFL is finding the right opportunity. That's why, some guys can get well, like Brett Favre's a good example. Didn't have much of an opportunity in Atlanta and just perfect situation right in Green Bay. It happens to a lot of those guys. The NFL is just, finding the right fit for almost everybody out there.
Well, just think, look at Case Keenum. I mean, Case Keenum is a 6-foot-tall, spread offense background. Everything about him would have told you, boy, this is going to be really hard for this guy to even make a roster. So what does that say? That says that there are some things that he has that you can't coach. There are some intangible traits, whether it's competitive temperament, whether it's high football IQ, whatever it is, that allows for him to compensate for maybe a lack of either arm strength or ideal measurable standard, all the things that everybody's looking for. And so it just, again, further proves the point that the position is so, from a cerebral standpoint, based upon acumen and work ethic and aptitude. And I think you can use Peyton Manning as a prime example of this, because there have been quarterbacks in and out of the league, ones that have had a cup of coffee, ones that have had 15-year careers, that are all more physically gifted than Peyton Manning was. But from the neck up, you could make an argument that nobody was better at the quarterback position than Peyton Manning over the last 20 years. You could really make that argument because he compensated with all the things that you can't coach.
Tom Luganville joining us this morning, as he does each and every Monday throughout the season. Luke, coaching changes, whether it's been head coaches going somewhere or assistants, are there a few out there that have really sit, you've stepped back and gone, wow, that's a great move, that's a great fit?
Not really, to be honest with you. I've kind of been tracking it and seeing who's moving here, who's moving there, but I haven't seen anything that I just sit there and go, oh, wow, you know, that makes total sense, or, you know, that's going to be a huge difference in the overall scheme of things. What I've really been doing is trying to kind of get a sense of, with each team adding a 10th coach and with the early signing period having passed, and we've talked before about unintended consequences of now what happens if assistant coaching movement takes place, and how does that affect the recruit that's already signed, and now that coach that recruited him is no longer there. It's going to be interesting to see, as that's now settled down and we go into the second signing period, what the impact is from a recruiting standpoint, because that right now is a bigger deal than the X's and O's standpoint. It's all about getting players now.
Tom, you work so much with high school athletes and appraise them so much. We talked last week about Washington State quarterback Tyler Heidelinski, who took his own life. I saw him in the Holiday Bowl where he started for Luke Falk, and he looked great. My gosh, he took his own life on Tuesday. Had you worked with him at all?
I had been around him, and I'd actually been around his older brother Kelly Helinski as well. That came up through the ranks. They're out of the Upland, California area. So I had been around him. You know, Tyler wasn't a heavily recruited kid. He was kind of one of those guys that Mike Leach identified as a fit their system. I think he appeared in 6 games this year and played well. He bailed him out, I think, against Boise, where he brought him from behind and they were able to win that ball game. And I just think that it further goes to show that you never know what's going on under the surface. An outward appearance may not always tell the story. And unfortunately, what we've seen with so many of these instances, and certainly not to get too medically complicated here, but when you're dealing with mental health and the peaks and valleys and the highs and the lows and people's ability to deal with that, maybe they've gone undiagnosed and they haven't had the proper care, and it festers and it spirals downward, and they're keeping an outward facade that everything is fine. And it's just, I mean, everybody you listen to in regards to this particular kid had no idea about all of it.
Right.
And I just think that is so tragic and so sad, because when you're on a football team, or any team for that matter, but football team, you have such big numbers. You know, you're around each other all the time. Now, it's not like it was 20 years ago when you had football-only dorms and you were rooming together and you were next door to each other all the time. Now kids are more spread out and things of that nature, so it's impossible to know everything. But it's a tight-knit group and a tight-knit unit, to the point where you feel like, gosh, you'd have some awareness or some understanding of something not being right, and that just didn't seem to be the case. So sad.
Yeah, it really is. Really, really sad. I wanted to get back quickly, before we get into some recruiting info, back to the coaches. Your thoughts particularly about Kevin Sumlin being hired by Arizona, and your thoughts about Mike Locksley taking over the offense play-calling duties for Nick Saban?
Well, to answer the first part of it, I think that makes a lot of sense. If you look at Kevin Sumlin's background, started out as a GA at Wyoming in the old WAC, which is now the Mountain West, and is very familiar with the recruiting landscape of that portion of the country. Then he moves on to Purdue, comes back to Oklahoma. They recruited California and the West Coast significantly. DeMarco Murray, as an example, is out of Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas. Tony Jefferson was out of San Diego, one of the prominent safeties for Oklahoma. So it makes sense. There's some ties and some background there. I think that Kevin Sumlin realizes that for Arizona to be successful within the Pac-12, they really have to place their efforts in the state of California to win and win big. If you've looked over the course of time with Arizona, that's what they've done. They've recruited California well, when they've been good football teams. And so I think he knows as well as anybody that will be the focus going forward. So I really like the fit. I think with Mike Locksley, I think what you have is you have familiarity. You have a fresh set of ideas. But at the same time, it is very, very clear that no matter what Alabama does on offense, it is going to be grounded in pro personnel, pro football foundation of run game, passing game. They're going to implement spread elements because you have to do that in today's landscape. They want an athletic quarterback, but they're not going to become a spread team. And I think that Mike Locksley has enough of a background being diverse with West Coast principles and more of a pro football mentality. You add in some wrinkles in the passing game or in the quarterback run game as part of the spread, and now you probably get what you want out of the offense. So you hire familiarity, you hire from within, you hire a guy who understands the work environment each and every day there and is familiar with the staff. You don't have to shake things up in other areas. So it just makes a lot of sense. That's why a lot of these analyst positions that Alabama hires, they're hiring to be coaches in waiting because they know they're going to lose guys. Guys are going to move on, and he doesn't have to do a search outside of a building to get the right guy.
In terms of recruiting, and the second national signing day comes up February the 7th, one of the interesting things that I've been tracking is what Dan Mullen has been able to do since taking the job in Gainesville. There's a chance that that it looks as though Florida may end up with a top 10 recruiting class. They've made some headway, I think, Tom. Do you?
Yeah, they really have. In fact, of all the 11 FBS new head coaches, and a lot of them obviously are in the South as well, they seem to be making the biggest strides the quickest. Now, I know it was a big splash for them to steal Emory Jones away from Ohio State for the first signing period. That created headlines. But it's really this month that will end up creating more headlines for Florida. It started 2 days ago when Justin Watkins, our second-ranked athlete in the class, who at one time had been verbally committed to Texas, he ends up joining Florida's class. Now, he's a Percy Harvin-type guy. He's got great speed. He can play all over the field. He's kind of that dynamic, you know, when the huddle breaks, where is this guy lined up, that type of player. So he fits what Dan Mullen wants and knows how to utilize. So I would anticipate Florida really pursues hard some players in the offensive line here down the stretch. But they are definitely the one team that seems to be making the biggest splash. But I also would say that Willie Taggart at Florida State is probably making the quietest stride. He's had some under-the-radar kids that have verbally committed over the last 2 weeks that I think are going to help the program. I wouldn't be surprised if come the end of February, the end of signing day on February 7th, that we're not talking about the job that Willie Taggart has done in the month of January, because that's really what this is. These coaches have come off the dead period, and now all of a sudden they got to fulfill the rest of their classes, while some of these teams who have signed 22, 23 players, all they're doing is looking to solidify one or two more guys. They might be looking at a best available scenario, while some of these other teams are having to sign seven or eight more guys and still having to fill needs. So that's a little bit of an advantage for some teams over others.
Filling needs, that's certainly something very important, particularly this time in the recruiting period as you're winding things down. What do you see as the two most pressing needs 2 weeks before signing the first Wednesday in October that both Gus Malzahn and Nick Saban need to wrap up?
I think for Gus Malzahn, without question, it's probably in the offensive line. They need to add more depth. They're going to have some losses. They've gotten a lot of productivity out of guys like Braden Smith and Darius James and some of these other guys. So I think the offensive line is an area that needs to be shored up. For Alabama, they're not going to have a lot of numbers. Their numbers are going to be down because they don't have a lot of scholarships to give. But I think it's the corner position, whether it's Tyson Campbell, whether it's Patrick Surtain Jr., they really need to, I think, shore up some defensive secondary players because we know the losses, the productivity, early defections to the NFL are going to come from that position with Alabama. It always does. So you seem to always want to reload there first and foremost on defense.
Tom Luganville is with us from ESPN. Lots of different things happening even now heading into the National Signing Day. And I know a lot of information is coming out. There's a lot more still to come as well. Tom, always great to have your insights. We really do appreciate it, and we look forward to talking with you again next week as it gets even closer.
Yeah, I tell you guys, next week, too, let's hit on an interesting subject that's starting to come up. I'm hearing a lot of coaches talk about is I'm hearing the phrase best available. That's an NFL draft phrase that you don't generally hear in recruiting. And it's interesting the impact that that might have and how it affects some teams versus others. We can hit on that next week.
Yes.
That's an interesting topic that hasn't come up before.
We will definitely do that. Yeah, we'll make a note of that, Tom. Look forward to it as always. Hey, Lukes, have a great week, my friend. We will talk to you next Monday.
Will do, guys. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay, let's do it again.
I'd love to.
Listen for ESPN's Tom Luganville every Monday at 8:20 a.m. on Sports Radio 740 with John and Barry. Brought to you by Riverbank and Trust. If you want to experience real customer service without a whole lot of fuss, then go see our friends at Riverbank and Trust. Catch Tom Luganville next Monday at 8:20 here on Montgomery's Sports Leader.